Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
Good morning and welcome to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
And I'm Ken Dilger.
So happy to have you along. Hey, if you're new to the program, a couple things I've got to tell you. We actually do shoot this on video now so that you're able to see it. But just to get through a few things, my why, my drive, the reason we do this radio show, the reason I write the newspaper column, is to help educate people about your finances so you don't make inefficient financial decisions that lead to frustration and devastation. Today, Ken and I are going to talk about some of those things that lead to frustration and devastation. Sometimes you could add into that some opportunities. I get very frustrated, Ken, when I see somebody, I will use it as an example today. Somebody has $100,000 of capital gains on their tax return, and then I turn to their Schedule A, that's where you do your itemized deductions, and I see $50,000 given to charity. And I go, you know, I'm glad you gave the $50,000 to charity, but why don't we take the appreciated stock and gift that to the charity? The charity doesn't pay any capital gains tax. You still get the deduction for full fair market value. This is a beautiful thing. And it's not encouraged by wirehouses. It's not talked about a lot of things. But with tax planning, it is critical that you understand this is what has to happen before the end of the year. This is not something your CPA can recommend you do in March. If you're going to do a qualified charitable distribution, if you're over 70 and a half, or if you're going to do a gift of an appreciated asset, it's got to occur in the calendar year. And it really is one of those things that drives us and what we're going to do in the show. So just to keep everything legal, we are SEC registered investment advisors. We take care of families in a little over 30 states. About $390 million, markets fluctuate. So, you know, you never know where you're going to be on any given day. So we always do our best to understate it just to be safe. Each week I talk about different things that are on the show. You'll always hear us talk about the fiduciary focus, which is our way of looking at life, risk and volatility, fees, expenses, taxes today and tomorrow, and real return. It is my checklist when I go to make a decision. On today's show, we're going to talk about Ed Slott's process for doing it. When we manage money, I don't pick up a phone and call and ask you. We take care of people who don't want to worry about their money. I don't ask you if you want to make a change or make a different decision. We have a process that's in place. People have signed off on the process and everybody likes it. When we do tax planning, it is very, very critical that you have a process, because there's always advantages and disadvantages to almost everything. If you're charitably inclined, though, a QCD may never have one of those points in times where it's not in your best interest. But never's a long time, so I always try to be careful with that. You got a question or comment, shoot us an email. Consider this at yourlifeafterwork.com. Do not forget to get signed up for the Market Carver. Ken and I'll take a break, and we'll get right into the show.
Hi, I'm Ken Dilger, co-host of Consider This with Joe Clark. Joe is a certified financial planner and former professor at Purdue University. Joe is the managing partner for the Financial Enhancement Group, and Joe's passion is teaching people about their money so they don't make inefficient financial decisions. Find out more at yourlifeafterwork.com. Financial Enhancement Group manages more than $390 million for families in 31 states. Join Joe and me as we address your questions about money and five critical elements of finance: retirement planning, tax planning, investment planning, life happens, the good, the bad, and the ugly of life, and legacy planning. Each week, we will tackle questions that can make a difference in your life. A Financial Enhancement Group can be reached at 1-800-928-4001. Financial Enhancement Group is an SEC registered investment advisor. Securities offered through World Equity Group, Inc., member FINRA, SBIC. You can find out more at our website, yourlifeafterwork.com.
Well, good morning and welcome to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
And I'm Ken Dilger.
Happy to have you all along with us. If you happen to be somewhere where you can watch us on video, we're more than happy to have you. It goes up, I believe, on our YouTube channel, and Ken and I do it. But it is a radio show. We're all over the country. So you'll be able to hear a lot of things. Just for a reference, we usually do this on Monday afternoons now when we actually go in and record it. And it airs at various times throughout. So if I happen to say good morning or good afternoon and you're listening at a different time, now you know why. So, Ken, we're going to talk about one of your favorite topics.
Football?
No, housing.
Oh, okay.
Well,
second favorite topic, I guess you'd call it.
Football played a significant part in your life, and it's important. Bo Eaton, did you ever play with Bo?
I do not know that name.
Yeah, he was. He's a speaker now, but he played, I think with the Titans or the Texans, and ended up playing with Montana.
Oh, nice.
And Young out and talked about how much he loved Jerry Rice, and not necessarily how much. Anyhow, it was a very interesting conversation. So I'm going to put you on the spot because I don't know the answer to this. How many houses have you owned in your life? Now keep in mind, Ken did get forced to move career wise.
That I actually lived in three.
Okay, so are you in what you would call today your forever home?
Yeah, pretty much.
So I think I probably am too, at least for the Indiana residents. You know, Barb and I just moved. So here's something. I want you to go back and think about your first house. Did you buy all new furniture and new stuff, or did you take some of your old stuff with you from college or your house?
That's a good question because we moved from an apartment to the house, so we took some of the stuff with us.
Some of the stuff.
But most of the stuff we bought new.
Okay. And why did you buy it?
Because we needed it.
Yeah. And so this is why housing is so important. When you hear people talk about housing and the way the economy works and how important it is, it's because housing and automobiles are the two largest indicators of what we call complementary spending. In other words, when you bought the structure, the house, mm-hmm. right, it didn't do much for you without the microwave, the TV, the couch, you know, the mixers and all of the other stuff, right, that you just have to have. It's a very, very important part of our economy. So when Ken's in the mortgage industry, that's why I said it was one of his favorite topics. So when you go to buy a house, right, there's some things that we look at, right? Mm-hmm. So we've talked about, I think, credit score.
Correct.
And the importance of it, of being able to get done. And what I'm seeing in my 31-year career, and granted $100,000 today isn't what $100,000 was back then. I got that. But what I'm seeing in my career today are more and more what we would call millennials that are winding up in our office with $100,000 in cash. They're not putting it in the market. In fact, when we ask people about investing in the market, when some of the companies do the studies, the generation that is 65 and over has more equity exposure or less fear, I should say, than the people that are my age, you know, the baby boom right on the cusp of not being a baby boom age-wise. And then the millennials are the worst. They're very, very cash heavy. Now, the interesting part that I know you're seeing is this thing called a debt-to-income ratio.
Correct.
And just to put that very simply, and it's what I spent 7 years teaching at Purdue in the financial planning department. Credit score, very simply, or debt-to-income ratio, rather, very simply, is what are all of your contractual obligations that you have to pay every month where you're obligated into debt. So it's not the electric bill. It is the car payment. Oddly enough to me, try getting out of an AT&T cell phone commitment, but you guys don't count that as part of the debt-to-income ratio.
Correct.
Which is never, you know, when the kids were both home, our monthly phone bill was $400 a month. So how you don't count that commitment, I don't know.
Yeah, but a lot of times you pay that with a what? Credit card.
You do?
Most time. Your monthly cell phone bill, you don't put on a credit card? Or you just pay it?
Well, I do it, yeah, but I do it through one of the companies. But the credit card's paid off every month.
Well, correct. So most people don't. So most people put everything on a credit card. Then a lot of times they don't pay it off. And so we have to take that credit card payment into account of your debt-to-income ratio for your revolving debt payment
right.
each month.
And the key thing there, because that's what one of the things that I had on the final for the Purdue students that always confused them, it's not how much you pay on the credit card every month. It's not what your outstanding balance is on the credit card. It is what Ken just said, that key monthly payment.
Correct.
Right? So one of the challenges that we have right now in the world are these people that have gone to college and they've got 4-year degrees and $100,000 worth of student debt. And once they roll out of school, all of a sudden, those student loans become contractual debt. And we're seeing people who can't afford because of the debt-to-income ratio be able to make the necessary payment. Now, it doesn't mean that they can't make it. It just means the bank says, I don't think we're going to take a chance on you. We lived through this 2006 thing, right? So we're not going to attempt to do that again. So understanding debt-to-income ratio, it is all of your contractual debts, not the outstanding amount, but the monthly amount that you have to pay. And so they take those, add them up, look at your income, and the bank institutions want that debt versus your income to be at a certain percentage. Now, I've seen that change over a period of time. Where are we at today, Ken?
So every loan is different. On a conventional side, we want just the under 45%.
45?
Under 45% debt-to-income ratio. But if you tend to go over it, they ask for what they call reserves. It could be cash reserves. It could be investment reserves, a 401k. To count, say if you lost your job, can you pay at least 6 months of your current debt load towards that? FHA and even VA would go over 50 to 55%.
Wow. Sometimes. When I got my first home, it was 37% was the debt to income ratio. That astounds me. But things do change. We migrate over time. My point in going back into housing is we've started to see a change in a lot of the areas where the debt-to-income ratios are getting back in line, and we're seeing houses move a whole lot quicker. Mm-hmm. So houses in where I live in my hometown in Anderson are moving relatively quickly. Fishers, I've got families down there where it's not on the market for a day. People are getting the pre-approvals and everything.
Right.
So things are changing. But it depends which of those three houses, Ken, is best for the economy. Okay. So when we look at the last house that you moved into, your forever home, I'm willing to bet not a lot of stuff came from the old house.
We did move some stuff in.
Did you?
Yeah, we did. But our kids, when we moved, were 2 and not even born yet, so you had to go out and buy new baby furniture.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
okay.
Kids' bedroom sets move up to bigger
and that
beds.
Makes it, and so the kid thing could have changed it.
Correct,
right?
Of course.
So I still have, and don't laugh at me. It's not funny. My mother gets so frustrated. But the house we just left, I literally left everything behind, and I bought that couch when we first moved to Otterburn, Indiana. I was a junior in high school. But I figure I've had 1,000 pounds on that couch, and we haven't broke it yet, so reupholstered a few times. Who needs to
There you go.
Yeah. The new house, however, none of the old stuff made it, right? So,
correct.
So the people who buy homes in that forever home can drive the economy because of all of the added things that they end up in going and buying. The young people can buy the homes and always need stuff. The problem is much of that is financed with debt.
Correct.
So you got to do this in the right order. What I told my students at Purdue was make sure when you graduate from here that, you know, you're going to have people like me who tell you wait to buy a home, and you should, but don't go get an expensive car payment or lease, because they'll loan you money for a car at a much higher debt to income ratio than they will for a house. And all of a sudden you will find yourself in a very challenging place when you try to go get the mortgage loan. And Ken says, sorry, debt to income ratio out of whack. The banks won't touch you. So you want to do it in the right order. Again, it's the minimum payment. It is not the maximum that you pay or the maximum amount of debt that you have. Hey, you're listening to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark along with Ken Dilger. You got a question or comment, shoot us an email. ConsiderThis@yourlifeafterwork.com. Don't forget when you go to the website to sign up for the market cover. That's where I actually talk about the market, what's going on every week. Ken and I'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-306-1760. 800-306-1760. 800-306-1760. That's 800-306-1760.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
And I'm Ken Dilger.
And we are happy to have you along. Hey, folks, I know that, you know, it's crazy. It sounds crazy. It feels crazy. But twice a year, I go off to some place with 300 to 350 other tax geeks. And they're CPAs. They are tax attorneys. There are other people that are in the industry that are me that are very, very focused on taxes. One of the things that I try to point out to new families that we work with or people that ask me the question, you know, I've been in the industry for 31 years, 2 weeks before the crash in 1987. And the market, you know, is relatively at an all-time high. It's oscillating back and forth here, some volatility at this time of the year. But it's much higher than it was in 1987, much higher than it was in 2008. And yet every year when you send a check to the IRS, it doesn't come back. And so twice a year, I go to these nice places. This was in San Diego, poor Joe, right? And then you sit for 4 days and read private letter rulings. And so I thought I would share some of the pain. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to share some of the pain with you, but I do want to highlight some of the things that we do. So when you hear about the Better Giver program, that's our charitable gifting that we do at the Financial Enhancement Group. It's a workshop that we put on for charitable entities and charitably minded families to help them understand the best gifting strategies for their unique situation. One of the newest ones that's out there, we'll probably talk about sometime during the show, is qualified charitable distributions and understanding what they are and how they work. Now, a lot of what we do, if you've listened to the show before, you know at the Financial Enhancement Group, we take care of people who don't want to worry about their money. And so when people show up, Ken, it's usually not them asking me what I think they should do and then them pondering it. It's, Joe, you got the ball, right? That's why I'm here. You go do your thing. And as a fiduciary, we don't sell anything. As a fiduciary, that's a pretty simple thing to do. So I would have looked at you your last year in football, assuming that your income was going to go down the next year, you know, because most of us don't get paid what you get paid to do on Sunday. And I would have looked and said, okay, Ken, are you charitably minded? In other words, is there a church or a charity that you give a lot of money to? And we would have done back then, we would have said, okay, let's take some of that income that last year because you're at a really high tax bracket now and go put it in what's called a donor advised fund. So your deduction would have been at a higher rate. The next year, your income's at a lower rate. You don't really have the income to give away, but you've already given it away. You just haven't given it to that particular charity. That's how a donor advised fund works. And one of the things that we go over inside of the program. But unlike whether you should buy or sell a stock, right? Because we manage more than $390 million for families across the country, I don't pick up the phone and call and say, hey, what do you think about Amazon's challenges? What do you think about Verizon's new changes? We don't do any of that stuff. If I sell it in my account, I'm selling it in yours, assuming that we're in the same investment model. If I'm buying it, I'm buying it, right? When it comes to these other strategies, that's a different story. So I sit down with people's tax returns and we go through a process. Ed Slott, if you ever need somebody besides me and you want to know about IRAs, go to irahelp.com. It has a list of those other 300 geeks that work with me, and we sit back and forth. I was on the board for a little over 11 years with them. We're in our 13th year of doing this. But Ed has a process that he goes through when we talk about tax stuff, you can understand what it is. The first is identifying the issue, right? So mm-hmm. we want to know what's going on. So I'm looking at your tax return, and I see a large capital gain, for instance. And said, okay, we got the issue identified. Factors to consider. Well, was the capital gain something that normally happens? Do you have a lot of money in a trust account, money that you inherited, and for some reason it had a very low basis in it, which never should happen, but every now and then people at brokerage companies forget to update cost basis. I know that sounds ridiculous, but we'll have people who come in, we've transferred money from... You can think of the many wirehouses. We transfer money in. We transfer it in what's called in kind. We don't sell anything there because our contracts give us a very efficient price to be able to sell individual holdings. But before we sell anything, we make sure there's a cost basis attached to it. And you would be amazed, but there are people who still don't have a basis. And so I'll look on somebody's tax return, and they've got, you know, $80,000 or $90,000 worth of capital gains, and they sold a stock that they inherited, which means you get a step up in basis, should have cost them nothing in tax, but the CPA didn't ask any question because they just filled out the 1099 that mm-hmm. that they received from the brokerage house. The broker didn't know how to spell basis, apparently, right? And so you've got this conundrum that you have to be in. So the factors to consider. Then we want to go and look at both the benefits and the drawbacks, right? So you can think about it in a football analogy. Is it better to run? Is it better to run up the middle? Is it better to throw to Ken? You know, what's the better deal? But there's good and there's bad. There's good outcomes. There's bad outcomes that could be there. Then you make the recommendation, and then we document the heck out of it so that everybody knows. Here's what happens over doing something for 31 years. How you feel about life today may not be exactly how you feel about life in 25 years. And so I want to have it documented as to why you made that decision and where to go. But what we want to help you do is do what we call pre-mortem work. I don't know if you know this, but in a hospital, when a patient dies, the docs kind of huddle up and do a post-mortem. Mm-hmm. Right? What could we have done to save the patient?
Right.
Right. My life is, what can I do to save the IRA before the IRA gets killed? And in the Better Giver program, one of those things that we talk about, going through that process, what Ed calls his five-step rep, one of the things that we talk about in there truly is those charitable, or qualified charitable distributions, the QCDs. And it's important as we go through the process that you will learn things, you'll create strategies, and then you have the ability to discover. And so you can go to our website and get signed up for one of those as well if you go to yourlifeafterwork.com. It's free. It's what we do for organizations because we think it's so important. And all of the years that I've done this, I can tell you that many of the families that seem to resonate with us, and I don't know if that's because I was on Christian radio for so long before they sold WQME, but many of our families, if not most, are charitably inclined. And what I see are inefficient tax decisions that are made time after time after time. And we want to do the best to help with your unique gifting strategy, figure out how to get the biggest tax benefit of that out of it, if you will. So one of the cases we studied, I told you I'd tell you a couple private letter rulings. One of the cases we studied, a guy is living up north in the United States, man, late 70s, early 80s. So Ken and I are kids, right? And he loses his job and tells his wife that there's work in Mississippi. So he's going to go to Mississippi. So he goes down to Mississippi. See, these are not private. These are public records that we're able to go get out. It's hilarious. So he goes down to Mississippi. He gets a job and a new wife. Now, the only problem with this is he didn't get a divorce from the first wife.
Oh, boy.
So just in case you didn't know it, in most of the states in the United States, all of them, you're only allowed to have one at a time, right? And the first one wins because there's no documentation. Well, guy dies. His wife is the beneficiary of his pension, the wife in Mississippi. Couple payments come out, and somehow or another, lo and behold, the first wife finds out. Now, the second wife was married to him, allegedly, longer than the first wife. But in the United States of America, the spouse is entitled to the pension. And the federal court indeed did say that the wife, first one, the real one, the only one, is the one who gets the pension. Moral of the story of these 200 and some pages that we're going to go through, a constant thing is check the beneficiary form, because you would be amazed how often that's messed up. Hey, you're listening to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark, along with Ken Dilger. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. You got a question or comment, shoot us an email. ConsiderThis@YourLifeAfterWork.com. 800-928-4000.
Hi, I'm Joe Clark, host of Consider This and managing partner of the Financial Enhancement Group. For the last 20 years, the Financial Enhancement Group has developed a process that's straightforward and simple. I'll share that with you, what we use to protect more than 700 families, more than $300 million in retirement assets. We take care of people who don't want to worry about their money. I started in this industry before the crash in 1987, and I've been an active participant helping families like yours strive to build a secure retirement. Here's what I've learned as a certified financial planner, a former professor at Purdue University, and as a trusted advisor for the last three decades. Nothing will separate you from your retirement like the Internal Revenue Service. You can reach us at 800-928-4001 at yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Securities offered through World Equity Group Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC. Again, that number is 800-928-4001, and you can reach us at yourlifeafterwork.com.
Want more business content? You need BizVod, the place for business videos on demand. With BizVod, you can watch the business videos you want to watch when you want to watch. Search for topics that interest you. Available on Roku and Web TV, and soon on Amazon Fire, Apple TV, iOS, and Android. With BizVod, you don't have to wait for business content. You are in control with hundreds of business shows and clips available on demand. Log on to BizVod today and use promo code RADIO for your first month free. That's right, for a limited time, your first month is free with no obligation. You can cancel anytime. Membership to BizVod is only $49.95 for the year. That's less than $5 a month. Again, the promo code for your first 30 days free is RADIO. BizVod, the place for business videos on demand. Log on to BizVod.com and join today.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945. Again, 1-800-607-8945.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
And I'm Ken Dilger.
Happy to have you along. So there is a pecking order, Ken, in the way the law works. So you've got contract law that you and I have a contract that say this is how we're going to treat each other. Then you've got state laws that kind of interpret those contracts. And different states are in different ways. For instance, in the state of Indiana, alimony is not a requirement. In many other states, it is very much a requirement, as you know. And you can all think back to the famous O.J. trial and how they fought to try to get his pension. In Florida, the pension was protected. You know, all sorts of that stuff. But then you have federal law. And one of those federal entities is called the Department of Labor. And it establishes the rules because so many people were taken advantage of. And they make sure that you are properly guided, if you will. So one of those rules is that if you are married, like it or not, your spouse has to be your beneficiary of that Department of Labor plan. So it could be a 401k, for instance. An IRA, contrary to what you hear people say, an IRA is not a Department of Labor plan. I can be your beneficiary, you can be my beneficiary on an IRA. On a 401k, it has to be our wives. Now, after we're married, we can have them sign off on something to change it. And this is a huge challenge in the United States right now. I don't have a lot of them, but I deal with a few families that are now same-sex marriage. And in my case, most of them are men, and most of them have children. So you have two men later in life, both working, have a 401k. They have contracts put in front of them that are called prenuptial agreements. So each of them had their attorney. And the deal was that when one died, his kids got them his 401k. And when the other one died, his kids got the 401k. And that all sounds great on paper. The problem is, it is a legal marriage. And federal law trumps state law. State law trumps contract law. If you have something in a contract that's illegal in that state, it doesn't matter what it says. It's not going to hold up. You and I can have a deal that we're going to shoot each other if one of us gets, you know, brain dead or something. It doesn't work. The other one's still going to go to jail, right? So you have contract law, you have state law, and then you've got this the law above it that has to do with, you know, Department of Labor, for instance. So Ken asked a question at the break. That's how we got into this. The Department of Labor has ruled that it prenuptials will not hold in this situation. And so you need to know that and understand it going in. And the case that we studied probably 3 years ago at the Ed Slott Group, the private letter ruling, or one private letter ruling, was Department of Labor, which is why it was so well known. A guy who was, I think he was 62 or 63 years old, somewhere in that age, had $18 million in a 401k. Okay, now, I'll tell you, that's a pretty big 401k, just saying. Had an $18 million 401k and was marrying somebody 2 years younger than his youngest daughter.
Wow.
Okay. So, you know, however you want to think about that, think about that. It is what it is, right? So he spent $75,000 on the prenup to have it done, where she agreed that if something happened to him, that the kids got she signed off on it. The major law firm in Silicon Valley is the one that put the agreement together. I've never seen a $75,000 prenup, just for the record. But, you know, all the I's were dotted, all the T's were crossed, except the Department of Labor said wrong.
Wow.
And in almost all cases, a beneficiary document trumps everything except the Department of Labor. So if she would have signed something after they were married, then the Department of Labor would have said, no problem, the money goes to your kids. Instead, he died 18 months later, and she got $1 million a month, 18 million, 18 months, get it? She got $1 million a month out of a 401k plan. The kids did not get it.
Wow.
And then you've got, so then you'll have very nice people who will say, well, I'm sure she made it right. and that she gave the 401k to the kids. Well, first of all, I can't tell you that she would have if she could have. What I can tell you are all the other complications of federal income tax, state income tax, federal estate tax, right? You can't just gift that to a non-spouse. It doesn't work. If somebody leaves me money and says, Joe, I trust you, you've got resources, you take care of your brother, I'm not going to worry about putting both names on it. I am executing a gift to give it to him, and it creates a whole myriad of problems that people really need to take into consideration. So if you're going to spend any time, you really need to pay attention to beneficiary designations. And remember, if you work at a company, here at the Financial Enhancement Group, I have a 401k. Barb has to be my beneficiary. We also have supplemental life, as most people do who are listening to this. I can make anybody my beneficiary on the supplemental life. So it goes to my trust, which again takes care of Barb, but it's immaterial. It goes in a different place. But if you're going through a divorce, you know, first prayers, hope it works out. But second of all, make sure you change those beneficiary designations. Now, on non-qualified life insurance, this is very interesting. And in Indiana, don't pay attention to this because it's not true here. But we had one of our families in Texas who passed away. The guy had been married 26 years ago, got remarried to somebody, got a divorce, legal divorce, got remarried, divorced her, had a few girlfriends, and died. Okay? He wanted everything to go to his two boys. And I know this because I'm part of the trust, right? Wanted everything to go to his two kids. Everything was fine and dandy. Except a few years ago in the state of Minneapolis, state of Minnesota, somebody said, hey, he didn't intend for the ex-wife to be the beneficiary. He just didn't get it changed. So in Indiana, it doesn't matter. The beneficiary is the beneficiary. And again, we're not talking about a 401k here. We're talking about a life insurance policy, right? So totally outside of the qualified game. State of Minnesota said, nope, you know, we're taking it off. The person who thought they should be the beneficiary because their name was on the life insurance policy challenged it, went all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said, nope, Minnesota law is correct. So as of today, we have about 26 states in the country where if you're an ex-spouse and you're on a life insurance policy, the state will stick up for you, right? So here you have to be very, very careful. I have two people in my life that have been divorced that still have their ex-spouse as the beneficiary, right? That want it to be that way. And again, in Indiana, not a big deal, but things change. They could change that code. But what if you happen to be listening to us and you're in one of those other states, if you want your ex to be your beneficiary, you have to refile a new beneficiary form. So yes, it's the same name, but you have to refile to show you did it with intent in order to be able to protect them. So moral of the story is if you're going to get married, make sure you agree on what state you're going to live in because state laws are dramatically different. Number two, remember that prenuptial agreements do not help you when it comes to Department of Labor plans. Department of Labor has made it very, very clear prenups will not hold. And somebody out there is listening and going, well, I did it and you know, you're wrong. Well, no, nobody challenged it and nobody read the ruling that came from the courts. It does exist. It is there. And if you need help with that, I can help you find it. But you want to know what state you live in. You want to check your beneficiary forms all the time. Why make it complex when all you have to do is call the form, right? My first,
interesting.
It was the early 1990s. My first case that was over $250,000, first one, right? The lady came in and she was the beneficiary of a life insurance policy at General Motors. He had changed the 401k. He'd forgot to change the supplemental life. She said she'd been beaten for 13 years and deserved every dime. And the current wife did not get the life insurance money, the Financial Enhancement Group. Well, when that point in time was, I had a different name, but you know, we still take care of the money today. So that is the moral story. It's how this world works. You pay attention to the laws, to what it is you're signing, and just make sure to the best of your ability, you're dealing with experts, not just people who say they do things. There is a reason why I spend the time and the money to go to those meetings twice a year. Hey, you're listening to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark, along with Ken Dilger. You got a question or comment, shoot us an email. ConsiderThis@YourLifeAfterWork.com. We'll take a break and be right back.
Hi, I'm Ken Dilger, co-host of Consider This with Joe Clark. Joe is a certified financial planner and former professor at Purdue University. Joe is the managing partner for the Financial Enhancement Group, and Joe's passion is teaching people about their money so they don't make inefficient financial decisions. Find out more at YourLifeAfterWork.com. Financial Enhancement Group manages more than $390 million for families in 31 states. Join Joe and me as we address your questions about money and five critical elements of finance: retirement planning, tax planning, investment planning, life happens, the good, the bad, and the ugly of life, and legacy planning. Each week, we will tackle questions that can make a difference in your life. Financial Enhancement Group can be reached at 1-800-928-4001. Financial Enhancement Group is an SEC registered investment advisor. Securities offered through World Equity Group, Inc., member FINRA, SBIC. You can find out more at our website, yourlifeafterwork.com.
BizTalk Radio is now available on Amazon Echo. Just add the BizTalk Radio skills, then ask Alexa for the latest business news. You'll instantly get live, relevant information from the best business source, BizTalk. BizTalk Radio. Alexa, open BizTalk Market Tips.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now
at 800-670-2142.
Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home.
Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-670-2142. 800-670-2142. That's 800-670-2142.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. That's 800-217-5107.
Paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam, for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself, but come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist. And you're done. Learn more at TryPaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back. Unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
And I'm Ken Dilger.
Happy to have you along. We're to talk about a very touchy subject that I'm sure will evoke emotional response among many. I have never seen this, in all fairness. But, Ken, in the world today, in Department of Labor plans, there are primarily two plans. There is what's called a defined benefit, and there's what's called a defined contribution. Now, the extreme majority of the plans today are defined contribution. That means, look at the financial enhancement group. We got 25 people on our team. We put money into their 401k for them based on their income. So I know, quote unquote, as the employer, what my responsibility is, what my cost is. If my payroll's $1 million and we put in 3%, I know I'm writing a check for 30 grand to fund the part that we put in. And we put it in whether they do or not, because I want everybody participating. So I know what that is. It's a defined contribution. A defined benefit plan is what the NFL has with you. So there's a pension, a lifely monthly income stream that they are going to pay you when you reach some magical age that you will get.
Well, we also had a 401k too.
Yeah, you can have both. You can have both. General Motors had both when they were.
It was nice. It was a 2-to-1 match. How about that?
Yeah, it's because I paid too much money for those bloody tickets.
Yeah,
that's why.
So true.
Keep me on track here. I don't want my blood pressure going anywhere high. So here's a scoop. Defined benefit plans are expensive, and the risk is on the plan being able to properly manage the money to get the returns. We talked about it before you became part of the show. The state of California had an assumed rate of return of 7.4%. I even wrote a newspaper article about it. Assumed annual rate of return of something around 7. They reduced it by 0.25%, even though they've not been within 2% of it over the last 10 years, 8 years, whatever it is. And that cost the taxpayers $500 million of extra money just because they reduced the assumption. So, you know, benefit pension plans have to make an assumption of here's what my rate of return is going to be. And then they go to the board and the board has to sign off on that. All right. It's lots and lots of risk because part of that is making sure that you get the return, especially in a low interest rate environment. Secondly, what if Ken lives to be 160? All right. So they've got a lot of risks. And so what happens is some of these places will actually send you a letter and say, Ken, if your spouse will submit and you want to, you can take a lump sum payment and roll all of this money out into an IRA. Again, your spouse has to sign off, like we talked about in a different part of the show. But you know, you see these big figures, and it looks great, right? And so people do it. At General Motors, they got tired of managing the pension, and they sent everybody a letter and said, "Ken, you can either take this check, or you can have an annuity provided by Prudential." Right, your pension amount wasn't going to change, but if you wanted to buy out right now, we're going to write Prudential a check, so we might as well write you a check. And we had some people who should have done it and did, and some people who shouldn't have done it, and some did anyhow, right? But it's one of those choices you have to make. Well, at this meeting with Ed Slott, I've been part of Ed's group since it started, the Master Elite IRA program. And at this program, on page 144 in our manual, you can find this in a Wall Street Journal article dated August 3rd, 2018. AT&T actually overpaid some of its pensioners. In other words, they had a defined benefit. They got offered that big check. They accepted the check, right? Everybody thought it was good. The government has to sign off on how the math works, by the way. The guys get the check, and away they go. So here's the thing. When James Mazzell retired in 2001, he started drawing a pension from his 27-year career with AT&T. 15 years later, he got a letter saying, hey, the benefits were miscalculated. You've been overpaid your monthly income stream. By the way, we need $32,116 back. Oh, my. All right? So AT&T obviously had a nightmare on their hands when the Wall Street Journal picks it up. As Ed and I say, when it goes mainstream, you know you have a problem. The New York Post, if you can get a hold of it, had a thing with Wells Fargo, had a cartoon in it this week or 2 weeks ago, where the people are at the bank and the tellers have the guns, right?
Geez.
When something goes mainstream, you know you have a problem, right? And it's, you know, it's no secret. So these guys actually had to, these guys, AT&T's pension plan, notice that's not the company, that's the pension plan, literally had to go out and hire a collection agency because their fiduciaries, just like I am for the families that I take care of, I have to safeguard your money. That's my job, right? Whatever happens. And so when they paid out extra money to him, that's less money that Ken could have gotten or could have received, and the risk of the fund went up, and so they had to go out and get it. A letter from Fidelity informed Eileen Ralston, 75, that she owed $58,500 back because of an AT&T pension overpayment. It's really, really out there. Among the companies recently requesting the paybacks, Fiat Chrysler.
Wow.
I mean, it's just amazing.
What percentage of clients actually pay these guys back?
They have to. So you owe me money and you don't pay me, I'm going to attach liens, take you to creditor protection, bankruptcy.
Right?
And it's not as they're trying to say, it's not that they're trying to be mean or evil. The only thing, and I don't even know if the Department of Labor would allow it. The only thing that could happen is AT&T could say, hey, you know, our subsidy or our group over here messed up. You know, here's $10 billion. Please make it go away. I don't even know if they can do that.
Wow.
But the quotation that came from the Fidelity spokeswoman said not recouping the monies would mean that there would be fewer funds available for distribution to other defendants. And so they're trying to say, hey, you know, it's not our fault. But now, I mean, I can just see it, you know, because some of these people that get this money don't have a lot of extra money. Right. And the hospital here in town just did this again where they let people take their money out. They ended their defined benefit plan and let people take the cash out of it. Now, for the second time in my career, which I thought was interesting. But I can just see somebody saying, you know, about that $110,000 we sent you? Yeah, you owe $8,000 of it back. And, I mean, there would be heads rolling.
I'm sure,
right?
There will be.
And it creates a whole nother litany of problems in terms of how the money got back in. The IRS did give them the ability to not call it an excess distribution, to be able to take the money out of an existing plan to pay it back. But that means you have to have the money. And a lot of times when people take the lump sums, it's one of the reasons why, you know, there's a whole list of things we go through as to whether or not people should take the lump sum. But one of them is do you have the discipline not to go spend it all tomorrow? Right. There is a casino down the street. Right. and people do crazy things sometimes with their money. So just beware. But, you know, when people ask me why I go and study with a bunch of tax people and doesn't everybody know this and all of that other stuff? No, there's, you know, a couple hundred thousand of people in the country who do what I do. And there's 340 in that organization, you know, and it's why there are CPAs there. You know, they don't, this is advanced stuff, even though it doesn't feel advanced. How difficult can an IRA beneficiary really be? And it is much more complex than people think. And it's why we spend the time in the program. Hey, you got a question or comment for Ken or I? You can send us an email, considerthis@yourlifeafterwork.com. While you're there, don't forget to sign up for the Market Carver. That's our weekly economic announcement of what we think's most important that's going on in the economy this week. your life after work.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk, online at biztalkradio.com.